Mr. President, I rise today to express my sincere concern about the manner in which this body is considering energy-related legislation. My constituents are interested in meaningful policy that will address the extremely high energy costs that they are facing today. They know that in order to deliver real results, we must develop legislation designed to address the entire problem: supply, demand, and market oversight. They're not interested in why one policy proposal is more worthy than another and therefore should be addressed before the other necessary elements of the solution, which is no doubt the debate we will be having today. We need to deal with increased supply from both traditional energy sources and next-generation sources, improve conservation of resources, and ensure greater market transparency and oversight. I recognize that for meaningful, comprehensive legislation to pass, both Democrats and Republicans are going to need to work together, which means everyone will not get everything they want, and we will all have to accept a few things that do not necessarily appeal to our interests. But that is what it takes to forge a workable compromise. Democrats and Republicans need to come together and determine what we can agree to, rather than bringing legislation to the floor of the United States Senate that, frankly, is designed to offend one side or the other. For this reason, I have sought to work with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle and have found that many within this body want to develop a bipartisan proposal that will yield real results. Unfortunately, the bill before the Senate today seems more intended to divide the Senate rather than unite us in an effort to develop a meaningful solution. As ranking member of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, the committee with jurisdiction over commodity futures trading, I have an obligation to ensure that legislation dealing with such matters is appropriately analyzed. Unfortunately, the Committee of Expertise did not have an opportunity to review this legislation before it was brought to the Senate floor, and for that reason, many problems exist within this language. When dealing with issues of such complexity, we cannot afford to ignore the potential unintended consequences that will surely result from this approach. What if we're wrong and we actually drive up the price of crude oil? What if we miscalculate the true burden we are placing on the over-the-counter market and such activities migrate to foreign markets? What if we reduce liquidity in the market so much that our physical market participants have limited hedging opportunities? As I said, this issue is extremely complicated, and the factual data is lacking, which unfortunately allows everyone to paint the picture convenient for their own cause. I'm sure you've all heard conflicting reports. For example, some claim that in recent years, non-commercial participation or speculation in the oil markets hasn't changed when compared to the proportion of commercial participation by those who actually have a stake in the physical commodity, while others say that speculation in the oil markets has increased from 37% to 70% in recent years. This is quite a discrepancy in the facts. The truth is that neither of these claims is proven completely accurate. Why? Because the category used to determine commercial participation includes swap dealers who actually trade on behalf of both commercial operators as well as speculators, and we simply do not have the data to verify which claim is accurate. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission is now in the process of getting more segregated data from these swaps dealers to determine how much activity is truly speculative in nature. But data separated out in this manner is currently not available. We simply do not know yet how speculation participation may or may not have increased compared to participation by those we would consider physical market stakeholders. I only mention this as an example of conflicting data upon which some of those proposed policy changes are predicated. I'm not claiming that one side or the other is correct, but I do believe that we need to have accurate data before we seek to make major modifications in the manner in which these futures markets operate. I want to be perfectly clear about this. I'm not opposed to all aspects of the bill before the Senate today. In fact, I believe many of the components designed to yield more transparency in these markets are necessary and that they could be improved upon and enacted. We must ensure that the information both the regulators and Congress use to ensure proper oversight is accurate to warrant our actions. However, this language goes far beyond what I consider reasonable, especially absent factually based data to support such radical changes and a thorough review of the potential unintended consequences. I truly believe that a reasonable market oversight component could be developed as part of a bipartisan comprehensive package, but unfortunately, this approach is only distracting us from developing more reasonable and balanced legislation. Mr. President, I have in hand a letter from the U.S. Department of Treasury dated July 21, 2008. It is a letter from what's referred to as the Presidential Working Group. It's a group made up of the Secretary of Treasury, the Chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, and the Chairman of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. We requested that group, which is the group that's viewed in this town as the most expert group on issues related to the financial markets. We asked them to take a look at Senate Bill 3268, the bill before the Senate now, seeking to put more restrictions on speculators in the oil commodities market, and to see what they thought about the particular bill, not the issue of speculation, but the bill itself. And I would ask, first of all, Mr. President, unanimous consent to introduce this letter as a part of the record attached to my statement.
Without objection, sir.
And I want to take a minute just to read a couple of statements in here. The PWG refers to the bill, talks a little bit about what it will do, and then it says, the PWG believes that Bill 3268, as introduced, would significantly harm U.S. energy markets without evidence that it would lower crude oil prices. It goes on to say that to date, the PWG has not found valid evidence to suggest that high crude oil prices over the long term are a direct result of speculation or systematic market manipulation by traders. Rather, prices appear to be reflecting tight global supplies and the growing world demand for oil, particularly in emerging economies. As a result, Congress should proceed cautiously before drastically changing the regulation of the energy markets. Mr. President, this mirrors exactly my concern about this particular piece of legislation. If we have a knee-jerk reaction to the issue of speculation in the markets and we're wrong, what we're going to do is we're not only going to destroy the energy markets in this country, but we're going to take those legitimate operators, those legitimate investors in the energy markets, and we're going to drive them overseas. We're going to have no control whatsoever over their buying and selling of contracts, whether it be oil, and the next thing we know, it'll be other food products that are dealt with in the commodity world on a daily basis. So, Mr. President, I think we need to listen to the experts. We need to make sure that we take the time to develop the right kind of policy with the right kind of expert information having input into the legislation, whatever it may be. And at the right time, let's have a bill on the floor that encompasses not only the energy markets themselves and any type of additional restrictions or regulations we need to put there, particularly from a transparency standpoint, but also we need to deal with the overall issues of additional domestic exploration. We need to deal with the issue of conservation, whether it be through lessening the use of gasoline, diesel, or whatever.
Senator, there's 1 minute remaining.
Plus, we need to make sure that we're developing the right kinds of incentives in the automobile industry, as well as on consumers, to encourage the manufacture and purchase of vehicles that are operated by alternative methods, whether it's electricity or natural gas or whatever it may be. So, Mr. President, I would urge that we move cautiously, that we not react too quickly, and that we be very careful in our approach to this issue and the bill that's on the floor today.